Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
Dr. Meeker, it's good to have you join us. Dr. Meeker is the Family Talk physician in residence and a member of our broadcasting team. It's great to have our listeners join us today. We have two guests that I'm anxious to introduce to our listeners. They are Ellie Kay and Dana Dimitri. They've written a book called Lean Body, Fat Wallet, Discover the Powerful Connection to Help You Lose Weight, Dump Debt, and Save Money. I wonder how many people out there would like to accomplish all three of those.
All three of those. Hey, I'll take one or even half of one of those. Right.
The book describes the habits that we can practice in the psychological and medical and physical areas of our lives. And this is going to be an interesting discussion. Ellie Kay has been a Family Talk guest before. I was out ill for a couple of weeks when you were here, so we got acquainted this morning. Ellie is well known as America's family financial expert. She's a best-selling author of numerous books, and she's also a frequent media guest. Mrs. Kay has been married to Colonel Bob Kay for more than 24 years, and they have seven children, count them. And despite her professional success, she tells us, we met in my office a few minutes ago, that her most cherished role is being a wife and mother. Is that for real?
Absolutely. You know, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And for me, that has always been the greatest role of a wife and as a mom in raising up a generation that can impact our world for Christ.
Oh, that's really meaningful. Well, our other guest is Dana Dimitri. She's the founder and president of Women of Purpose. In fact, you founded it, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. It's an outreach ministry that helps to introduce women to the gospel of Jesus Christ through local events. What do you mean by local events?
Well, the ministry was founded in San Diego, and what we do is we actually go outside of the church. We partner with a local church, but we go outside the church in places like hotels and different conference type of centers and create events that encourage Christian women to bring their unchurched, unsaved friends so that we are going to them in essence. And as much as we want to draw unchurched to the church, sometimes they don't come readily, right. And so we go to them.
How often do you do this?
Well, it has varied over the years, Dr. Dobson. Sometimes we have done it as many as 9 events in a year, which was quite a grueling schedule. In recent years, I spend a lot of time personally speaking at conferences and retreats, and so we do anywhere from 3 to 4 outreach events a year.
And you're married to Lou.
I am. I'm married to Lou.
And for how long?
28 years. And it has been an incredible journey and blessing. God has given me an amazing, godly man.
And you have how many children?
Well, it depends on how you count them. I have two birth daughters. One is 36 and one is 33. Two stepsons. One is in his 40s and the other is 30, as well as an adopted grandson who I do call son, who is now 17. So it's as Jesse, my adopted grandson, will say, our life is complicated.
You could write a book on any number of different sort of parenting types of relationships, couldn't
yes,
you?
Yes. We've had quite a rocky journey, but God has been incredibly gracious, and we have a very whole, very loving family today. 10 years ago, I would have said, really, Lord, will it ever be healthy and whole? But it is. God has just done amazing miracles.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and I met a few minutes ago. I'm glad you're here, and thanks to both of you for being here today.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to dive right in to our book, Lean Body, Fat Wallet, and I'd like to start with you, Dan, if that's okay. You struggled for 16 years with an eating disorder. You described that you were an emotional eater. You had bulimia. You abused laxatives, amphetamines, you name it. What was it like living in that kind of a prison, if you will?
I truly was in bondage, Dr. Meeker. I was so consumed with looking thin and being pretty as a young girl that I did such unhealthy things that I felt like I was completely out of control. Mm-hmm. I felt like I couldn't stay on a diet long enough to lose the weight I wanted to lose, and therefore I resorted to these unhealthy behaviors to the extent I really didn't believe I could stop it, mm-hmm. which of course was a lie.
Right.
But I lived in such bondage that I ended up having severe panic attacks for over 5 years, and my life was just spiraling out of control.
Mm-hmm. At that point in your life, were you married? Were you single?
I started dieting at about 13 years old.
Okay.
I was a skinny little child, and as I hit puberty, I was a little bit more, I call it cushier than my friends. I was not fat by any means, but I looked at my perfectly normal body, mm-hmm. which wasn't normal to me, and I looked at my friends who were skinnier and smaller than I was, and I thought, I'm fat. And this is, you know, years ago. This is back in the 60s. And my parents were not giving any undue pressure to be thin. Certainly our society was about beauty, but not to the extent it is today. But there was something in my wiring that said, I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough. That's exactly right. You know, looking back, and I know that you've recovered from your eating disorder, what do you think drives eating disorders? Because I know that they're on the rise in kids. As a pediatrician, I've read that 30% of third grade girls have thought they need a diet. That's very, very disturbing. We're living in a culture that tells women and young girls that their value is in how they look. But you say at 13 you started dieting and it got out of control. If you could label one or two words that drove that, what would those words be?
Less than.
Less than.
I thought I was less than. You know, it has only gotten worse. I think what drives us is this sense of inadequacy. And I did not have my identity in Christ. I didn't become a Christian until I was in my 20s, actually coming through this long battle of eating disorder and distorted self-image and panic attacks. But I saw myself in comparison to mm-hmm. others. And I think that is one of the reasons. Now, you can talk to psychologists, and many will say that eating disorders like anorexia and bulimia are a control issue. But taking away the psychological side, just the pure pressure of living in a very materialistic society, mm-hmm. we have to filter how we interpret who we are every day. And a teenager doesn't have the capacity to do that unless they've been told and taught properly. Mm-hmm. And even so, Christians are struggling right. with these very same things because their focus is off.
I completely agree with you because I really don't think I've worked with girls with eating disorders that it's a control issue. I think it's a fear issue. And the truth of the matter is you're completely out of control. When you're living in that prison, you're out of control. Was there a moment when you realized something's wrong, I need help, and I can't do this?
There were many moments I realized it. I think early on, you come to find this little stopgap measure called purging. I'm binging, you know, the binging side gets controlled through the purging.
You were bulimic.
I was never anorexic. And in the process of trying to lose weight, I became obsessed with what I thought I couldn't have any longer. And so I started to binge. I'd never had eating issues. Mm-hmm. And as I started to binge, I thought, oh, I'm so full. I'm so uncomfortable. I'd feel more comfortable if I purged. And I did it once and I thought, I'll never do that again. That was just disgusting. But the next time I binged, I thought, I don't have to keep all these calories in, and I purged.
Isn't and that sad?
It's very sad.
So many young girls, especially those in the teen years,
yes.
believe they've got to do that to be acceptable.
Well, yes, because we get in this tug of war, and this is what I teach a lot in this whole area of lifestyle change. We get in this tug of war with ourselves. And you asked, you know, when did you realize you had a problem? Well, you know, when you start to binge and purge, you know, once or twice, you don't see it as a huge problem. I'll never do that again. But by the time I was in college, I was binging and purging 5 times a day.
It's like an alcoholic and another drink.
It is. Mm-hmm. And you get into this downward spiral that you believe you have no control. And of course, we do have control. I always say I've never seen a cookie jump in someone's mouth. But we lose that capacity of how do I change my behavior? And that's why I love to write and speak about these things, because I know what the battle feels like. It's not just knowing it exists. I was in it. And yes, I knew I had issues as early as probably 14, 15. I knew it was behavior that was shameful because nobody knew about it.
Mm-hmm. Ellie, you had some bumps in the road coming through the teen years and beyond, didn't you?
I was actually one of those teenagers that was a born saver. As a matter of fact, I was due in January, and I arrived early on December 28th, just in time to give my dad another income tax deduction. So I was literally a born saver, and I had my first business in the second grade. By the time I was in fifth grade, I was paying for a trip to visit my cousins in Spain. By the time I was 15, I paid cash for my first car. So I was something of an entrepreneur from the early days. And then I married a man who was a born spender, and he had a very great work ethic. He was a very hard worker.
It's a but great combination.
It really
there.
Is. Born spender and born saver get married. And his money, though, never saw the inside of his pocket when he was a teenager growing up. So we had a few adjustments to make. And when we first got married, I married into $40,000 worth of consumer debt. Mm. This is back in the 80s. And I did not realize that there was that much debt when I married into it. So we had a quite the challenge when we first got married.
I think you mentioned in the book that this was leftover debt from his first marriage, breaking up.
Exactly right. And so that was one of those things. I don't think that my husband realized how much debt he really had to be able to give me that full disclosure as to what we were marrying into. And then he was in the Air Force Reserve. He was an aerospace engineer, and he wanted to go into the military full time, back into the actives. So he took a $15,000 a year pay cut, and I was staying home full time because that's what I wanted to do, was to stay home full time with our children. And so it was quite a challenge when we were first married.
Because you have some fights over that?
We don't like to call them fights. We
Fusses.
Like to call
okay,
them very sharp disagreements. So, no. Yes, we did have some discussions. But early on, we decided that we wanted to do things God's way. So we got our finances in biblical order, and we asked the Lord to help us get out of debt. We paid our tithe. We started to spend less than what we made. I became a master saver, which birthed this whole new career that I'm in today. And God really blessed it and honored it, because within 2.5 years, we had dug out of all of that consumer debt, and we were completely debt-free, and we've remained that way ever since.
Hmm. And you're working with people who are still struggling at that point, aren't you?
Yes, Dr. Dobson, I am. And that's why I offer hope to people that are listening today that may feel like they have so much debt, they just always have more month at the end of the paycheck, that they can't seem to make it. If you put your finances in biblical order and you follow the path that He has for you in asking Him to provide and Him to give you wisdom that you need, He will step up to where you are, and He will meet you where you are, and He will help you with those financial issues.
So this is very interesting as I'm listening to both sides, because I will be honest, I read the title of your book and I go, money, food. Where in the world is the connection? But as I listen to you, Dana, talk about this excruciating period in your life where you were really out of control, you believed that you couldn't stop.
That's right.
Food had overtaken you, whether you're going to eat too much or eat too little or purge. And Ellie, as you're talking about people overspending, and I can't imagine anybody out there in a listening audience who doesn't struggle with one or the other, money or food, that there are people who are out of control in their spending and feel, I have to get just one more thing. And perhaps they feel, maybe not the intensity that Dana did, I'm not sure. Am I right in saying that that's where the connection between the two of you comes, between food and overspending?
Yeah, what is the linkage there?
Well, I think what you'll see is very often in the negative side of the health and wealth area is this dealing with temptation and that immediate need for gratification. So the struggle is very similar. It's just a different thing. With in the health area, it's food and to exercise or not. In the wealth area, it's spending and saving.
Right. And I do believe that there's an emotional connection as well. You've heard of shopping therapy. People will go out and spend money to feel better about themselves. Well, what happens to the idea of comfort food? So people will eat maybe the wrong things in order to feel better as well. So there's an emotional connection. There's also the psychological connection. And then, of course, there's just the practical connection. It's very easy to overspend. It's very easy to overeat. And yet, with the principles and the habits that we outline in this book, there are ways that you can bring both of these areas into submission, into the rightful place, so that you can have a healthier lifestyle, one that where you are both fiscally and physically fit.
Mm-hmm. You talk in this book about lies that you tell to yourself. What are the lies, and how do you get the truth to yourself, so to speak?
That's a great question, Dr. Dobson. And the lies are different for different people. For example, for me, as we were saying, I believed the lie, one, that I didn't look good enough, two, that I couldn't stop overeating. And if I did overeat, that I couldn't stop purging. So I had specific lies that were sending my lifestyle down a spiral. What we try to teach in Lean Body Fat Wallet is the first habit, you are what you think habit, which of course is very biblical. As a man thinks, so is he, and help people identify the lie for themselves. So the question is, what is it you're believing? I don't believe I can go to the movie and not eat popcorn. I don't believe that I can not have dessert every night, or whatever. It can be as simple as a practical thing, too. I don't believe I can lose weight. Mm-hmm. In the financial area, it might be something different.
In the financial area, one of the lies that we believe is that in today's society, we will always have debt. We'll have consumer debt. We'll have student loan debt. That debt is just a way of life, and that's just the way Americans live. And that really is a lie, because I believe that, biblically speaking, God wants us to be free from the bondage of debt, to be able to pay down that consumer debt, to be able to stretch the value of a dollar in more creative ways. And along these same lines, some of the other lies that we feed ourselves when it comes to finances is, well, my parents were always bad with their money, and I'm not that great with my money either. Like, there's this legacy that's being passed down that because our parents never could make ends meet, that we're not going to either. And I'm actually from Texas. You may hear a little bit of a Texas accent.
So am I.
Oh, good. We'll see. Then no wonder we relate. There's this thing in Texas called poor mouthing, and that is exactly what that thought is. It's the idea that, oh, well, we're just going to barely get by, you know, kind of the Eeyore type of, oh, well, we're always going to have consumer debt. And that is absolutely not the truth, because when this principle that we're talking about, you are what you think habit, when you begin to think, you know, I can give my finances to the Lord, I can line them in biblically, I can tithe and still have enough money at the end of the month. And when you begin to believe God's truth over the own lies that we tell ourselves, that is the pathway to financial freedom. It's the pathway to physical health. It is the way back to where I believe we were designed and created to be.
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing now with the economy being so disastrously low and bad, and has been for, 6 years or more now? Are you seeing more people with this kind of compulsive behavior, where they're spending money they just don't have?
Dr.
And
Dobson,
you have fewer people working now, too. So,
Dr. Dobson, one of the things that I saw right after we had our Great Recession in recent years was people that all of a sudden stopped spending. And we saw that consumer debt started to go down. We saw that people were trying to get a hold of their finances. We saw that they were trying to pay down some of that consumer debt because they were scared by the fact that their friends were losing their homes, family members they knew were losing their homes, and they decided, wow, maybe I finally need to get a grip on this spending and I need to budget because I don't want to have that same financial future that some of my friends and family members have had.
Mm-hmm. So it's had a beneficial effect?
Initially, I saw a beneficial effect where people were starting to get a grip. Now, several years later, the old habits are coming back. People are starting to spend again. Consumer debt is starting to inch up again. But the really disastrous problem we're seeing today is student loan debt. Mm-hmm. And there are so many students that are graduating with $20,000, $30,000 in student loan debt. And what that does for their future is when they get out of school and they have to start paying back that student loan debt, they're going to have anywhere from $300 to $800 a month that they have to pay just in their student loans. And that means a number of things. It means, for one thing, mom is not going to have the option of being able to stay home with those children. It means that they're going to have to put off buying a home until later because maybe both parents are paying back their student loan debt. So it has grave consequences in today's society.
Mm-hmm. Ellie, that one really concerns me. Mm-hmm. In the first place, the economy cannot accommodate that many college graduates. They get out of school with all this debt and they can't get a job.
That's right.
And then that haunts them. It has implications for the relationship between husbands and wives and between parents and children. It is disastrous for the family, I think, to start life out like that. Some have $100,000 to pay back. My goodness, they can hardly find a job, much less get enough money to pay that debt off.
It is, and it is a huge problem right now. One of the things that we've told our children is that you're not going to go to the best college that you can get into. You're going to the best school that you can get into that you can graduate from with minimal student loan debt.
That's wise. Very, very wise.
And so the youngest five are all graduating with bachelor's, if not master's degrees, completely debt-free because we want them to start out their lives, their marriages, their careers without that burden of student loan debt.
Mm-hmm. Can you do that today?
Yes.
Can you pay the horrendous tuition? That's how, you know, the first two courses I took from USC, I think I paid $44 a piece for them. It's unbelievable what's happened since then. Mm-hmm. And how do people pay their way through college?
One of the things that we've told people is that if you have to go to a community college for the first 2 years, then do that, that you need to study for those AP tests so that you can get those college credits. There is CLEP testing in school, that you can take these tests and you could advance place out of college credits that way. I have a Spanish background, and my children have been able to place out of 14 units of another language. So you do a lot of different creative things to be able to get ahead on college, and you readjust your expectations. So in doing that, we still have kids that have graduated from Columbia, Stanford, University of Texas, Moody Bible Institute, and then we have three that are in military academies that are paying back that education with 5 to 10 years of military service. We had one child that took a year off between her sophomore and junior year at Columbia and worked and then went back to school. So there are some very proactive things that you can do to graduate with minimal student loan debt, and our family is an example of that.
Well, I have really enjoyed our time in studio here with Ellie and with Dana, learning about overspending and overeating. And we are all out of time for today at Family Talk, but I would love to have you back, and we will do another show on what we do now when life feels out of control. Would you come back?
Absolutely.
And the title of the book is Lean Body, Fat Wallet, and it is a book of answers, isn't it? It's not just talking about the problem. I mean, we're talking about today two really serious problems of weight control and overeating and overspending as well, and a lot of people are struggling with one or both of those difficulties. So we'll pick it up right here next time, and Dr. Meeker, you will be with us again.
Yes, I will.
In fact, regularly now, because you're on our team and on our staff. Thank you, ladies, for being with us, and we will talk some more next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goes fast, doesn't it? To learn more about the four habits we talked about today and how to implement them, please visit drjamesdobson.org to find a copy of Lean Body, Fat Wallet. Discover the powerful connection to help you lose weight, dump debt, and save money. And while you're online, would you please consider a year-end contribution to the ongoing work of our ministry? We're completely listener-supported, and anything you can give to help us reach more families would be a tremendous blessing. You can contribute by visiting drjamesdobson.org and clicking the Donate tab at the top of the page, or via Family Talk mobile app. Or you can simply call 877-732-6825. The number again is 877-732-6825. 6825. Well, thanks for spending your day with us, and we hope you'll join us again next time as we'll hear how to break free from the bondage of bad habits that we pick up over time. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Imagine a world where the joys of parenthood are casually exchanged for life without children. In my dad's newest novel he wrote with Kurt Bruner called Childless, you'll see a stark picture of a not-too-distant future where the dwindling number of young and healthy strain under the burden of a rapidly aging population. Childless will both entertain as well as deepen your conviction about the sanctity of life. That's why we're excited to send you a copy to say thanks for your renewal gift of any amount to Stand for the Family in 2014. And for your gift of $50 or more, we'll also send the beloved A Year of the Bible in Art calendar featuring the work of renowned artist Ron DeCiani. This stunning calendar features biblically inspired paintings that will encourage you every month of the year. Childless and A Year of the Bible in Art are our gifts to thank you for your renewal gift of $50 or more today. So please request yours when you call 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825.